recording is all set. Everything is on. Chairman, I'll turn it over to you.
Thank you. Hello, everyone, and good afternoon. My name is Owen Egan. I am the chairman of the Freedom of Information Commission. This is the regular meeting of the commission, February 10th, 2021. Before we begin, I will take a roll call in alphabetical order so that the record reflects who is participating today. When I say your name, please indicate that you are present. Commissioner Berry, Commissioner Chavez, Commissioner Einhorn,
here.
I'll repeat, Commissioner Chavez.
Yes, I'm here.
Thank you. And Commissioner Einhorn said he's here. Commissioner Suzeschi?
Here.
Commissioner Hankins?
Here.
Commissioner Streeter?
Here.
Commissioner Shaw? Commissioner Winkler?
Here.
And myself, Chairman Owen Egan. Thank you. This meeting is open to the public and is being conducted telephonically due to the COVID-19 pandemic. It will be recorded in its entirety. For everyone participating in today's meeting, please remember to identify yourself first for the recording each time you are called upon to speak. I may remind you to do that occasionally. Please don't be offended. Just please state your name so our record can be clear. All participants are expected to conduct themselves in a respectful manner at all times and not to interrupt the commission deliberations. If the commission believes any person's conduct is disruptive, that person will be placed on mute at the direction of the chairman. Further disruption may lead to that person's removal from the telephonic meeting. When the commission conducts a vote, it will be a roll call vote. I will conduct the roll. The first item is consideration of the minutes of the commission meeting of January 27, 2021. Do I hear a motion?
Mr. Chairman, this is Commissioner Streeter. I move adoption of the minutes of January
27,
2021.
Thank you. Is there a second?
Commissioner Winkler, I second that.
Thank you. Motion's been made and seconded. Is there discussion? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Oh, I'll take a roll call, excuse me. In favor, Commissioner Berry? Commissioner Chavez?
Aye.
Commissioner Einhorn?
Aye.
Commissioner Fuzeschi?
Aye.
Commissioner Hankins?
Aye.
Commissioner Streeter?
Aye.
Mr. Shaw? Mr. Winkler?
Aye.
And myself, Owen Egan, aye. Passes unanimously. Next, we will consider the hearing officer's reports. The hearing officer's reports are publicly accessible on our web, which is www.ct.gov/FOI, through links on the agenda for today's meeting. I will call the docket. If you are a party and wish to address the commission on a particular docket number, please let me know when I call it, and we will mark it ready. We will take up the cases in order that they are called. Calling first docket number FIC 2019-0459, Jerwan Tyus versus Peter Reichert, Chief Police Department, City of New London, et al. Is there anyone here on that matter? That matter was withdrawn, so I'd entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Streeter, I move adoption of the hearing officer's report.
Commissioner Winkler, I second that.
Motion's been made and seconded. Is there discussion? Hearing none, I'm going to take a roll call on those in favor. Commissioner Chavez?
Yes.
Mr. Einhorn?
Yes.
Commissioner Fuzeschi?
Yes.
Mr. Hankins?
Yes.
Mr. Streeter?
Yes.
Mr. Winkler?
Yes.
And myself, Chairman Owen Egan, yes. Motion passes unanimously. Next is docket number FIC 2019-0548, Jerwan Tyus versus Peter Reichert, Chief Police Department, City of New London, et al. Is there anyone here on that matter? Hearing none, I'd entertain a motion. This is a withdrawal as well.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Commissioner Streeter, as in the previous case, I move adoption of the hearing officer's report.
Commissioner Winkler, I second that.
Motion's been made and seconded. Is there discussion? Hearing none, I'm going to take a roll call vote. Commissioner Chavez, this is all in favor. Commissioner Chavez?
Yes, I'm in favor.
Mr. Einhorn?
Yes.
Mr. Fusashi?
Yes.
Mr. Hankins?
Yes.
Mr. Streeter?
Yes.
Mr. Winkler?
Yes.
And myself, Owen Egan, yes. The next matter, docket number FIC 2020-0161, Terrence Burton, has been marked off. Next matter is docket number FIC 2019-0699, Matthew Olson versus Office of Legal Affairs, City of Stamford, et al. Is there anyone here on that matter?
Yes, this is Matt Olson.
Is there anyone else here on that matter?
Yes, Attorney Michael Toma for the respondent.
Thank you. We'll mark that ready. Next is docket number FIC 2020-0055, Joseph Legos versus Commissioner, State of Connecticut, Department of Transportation, et al. Is there anyone here on that matter?
Yes, Paula Jean Yuka, the Department of Transportation for respondent.
Is Mr. Legos there? Would you like to be heard, or would you like us to act on this?
We'd like you to act on it, yes.
Okay, I entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Streeter, seeing no objection of the respondent, I move adoption of the hearing officer's report.
Commissioner Winkler, I second that.
Motion's been made and seconded. Is there just hearing none, I'll take a roll call vote of those in favor. Commissioner Chavez?
Yes.
Commissioner Einhorn?
Yes.
Commissioner Fusashi?
Yes.
Commissioner Hankins?
Yes.
Commissioner Streeter?
Yes.
Commissioner Winkler?
Yes.
And myself, Chairman Owen Egan, yes. The motion passes unanimously. Thank you. Next is docket number FIC 2020-0107, Marlene Moore Sellens versus Director of Personnel, City of Danbury, et al. Is there anyone here on that matter?
Yes, Marlene Moore Sellens, the complainant.
Thank you, Ms. Moore Sellens. Is there anyone else here on that matter?
Hi, yes, this is Joanna Dahlman. On behalf of the respondent.
Are you an attorney, ma'am?
I am.
Is it attorney Joanna Dahlman?
Dahlman. It's Joanna, J-O-H-A-N-N-A. Last name is Dahlman, D as in zebra, E-L-M-A-N.
Thank you very much.
For Harrison.
Thank you. We'll mark that ready. All right. So we have two matters that have been marked ready. I would just note that before we consider the cases, I will ask the Executive Director and General Counsel, Colleen Murphy, to make some general announcements.
Sure. Good afternoon. As has been indicated, this meeting is being recorded in its entirety, so there's no need to request a recording. And second, pursuant to our regulations, oral argument is 10 minutes per side, and I'll keep track of that for the parties.
Thank you. So the first matter that's been marked ready is FIC 2019-0699, Matthew Olson versus Office of Legal Affairs, City of Stamford, et al. Are you there, Mr. Olson?
I am.
Okay, and then is Attorney Toma there?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Olson, would you like to begin?
Sure. Mr. Chairman, members of the Commission, thank you for your time this afternoon. Just a quick aside here. Building that cabinet, and I have to say that with COVID, I've gotten back into woodworking, and I chuckled a bit when talking about building the work that I went to do that over the weekend. So thought I'd mention that. But moving to my concerns, so I object to the proposed decision really with two principal concerns. The first is, in my request, my original request to the respondent of the City of Stamford, the named respondent request was Michael Toma. appear in and testify, citing the fact that he was a lawyer. Hearing Officer Perlman simply stated that she would not compel Mr. Perlman to testify, and I have been unable, Ms. Perlman in her proposed decision didn't offer any rationale for Mr. Perlman not testifying as respondent. I would like to understand what rule or law grants the respondent immunity from responding by simply filing an appearance, by simply being an attorney. That's my first concern. My second concern is the genesis of this request stems from a previous commission hearing, and that was commission hearing FIC 2019-480. At that hearing, the respondent, same respondent, City of Stamford, offered a witness named Joseph Godet, who testified to the existence of certain records. For this hearing, 0699, I submitted as evidence both an excerpt of that Joseph Godet testimony as well as the full recording of the hearing. Also at this hearing, 0699, the respondent offered additional witnesses who offered contradicting testimony to Mr. Godet, indicated that the record did not exist. Hearing Officer Perlman, again, I don't understand her rationale, offered no explanation in her proposed decision as to why she gave more weight to one sworn testimony over another. Both were sworn testimony. This wasn't a situation where I said that someone said something in the parking lot, something like that. This was sworn testimony to the commission. I don't understand. And again, I raised, beyond that, I raised the concern that if, how can the public have confidence in the commission if parties can come in to a hearing, swear to tell the truth, and then simply lie with impunity, not be held accountable? How can the public have any confidence? So I suggested that if Mr. Godet was not being truthful, that perhaps the commission ought to consider some sort of a sanction, perhaps referring the matter to the state, for example. Hearing Officer Perlman seemed to give no credence to that. It's my concern, and again, this is perhaps beyond the scope of this particular matter, but it's my concern that if this respondent, they have repeatedly, in 0480, in other matters, where I was not the complainant, have repeatedly come to this commission and not been honest. They've been dishonest to this commission. I can cite cases that you like. And allowing them to continue this behavior undermines the commission and the public's trust in this commission. And for those reasons, I respectfully request the commission not adopt the proposed decision. I request an opportunity to question the respondent someone under oath. I also request that Hearing Officer Perlman either provide evidence or rationale for accepting one sworn testimony is truthful and another is not with no consequences. And furthermore, I request that this commission protect its own integrity by holding those who offer false testimony accountable. Thank you.
Thank you. Counsel?
Yes, this is Attorney Michael Toma for the respondents. What is dispositive in this case is the hearing officer's determination that respondent gave everything over and produced everything to the complainant that it had that was responsive to the request. That was determined by the hearing officer based on the evidence, and that determination is the extent of the commission's jurisdiction. The commission, in this case, has jurisdiction to determine whether a respondent produced all responsive records that it possessed, and based on the evidence, the hearing officer determined that the respondents did so. So I urge adoption of the report.
Thank you. Do any of the commissioners have any questions for either of the parties?
No, thanks.
not, I'd entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Streeter, I move adoption of the hearing officer's report.
Commissioner Winkler, I second that.
Motion's been made and seconded. Is there discussion? Hearing none, I'm going to take a roll call vote of those in favor. Commissioner Chavez?
Yes.
Commissioner Einhorn?
Yes.
Commissioner Fusesci?
Yes.
Commissioner Hankins?
Yes.
Commissioner Streeter?
Yes.
Commissioner Winkler?
Yes.
And myself, Chairman Owen Egan, yes. The motion passes unanimously. Thank you. Mr. Olson, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, members. Have a good afternoon.
Thank you. The next matter that's marked ready is FIC 2020-0107, Marlene Moore Sellens versus Director of Talents. There you go. Thank you. Marlene Moore Talents versus Director of Personnel, City of Danbury et al. Are you there, Ms. Talents? Moore Talents.
I am.
Great. And are you there, Attorney Zellman?
I am.
Attorney Zellman, are you there?
I am.
Thank you. All right. Ms. Moore Callens, would you like to begin, please?
Thank you so much. I wanted to talk to this commission because with my complaint says here that the complaint is dismissed. However, the complaint was filed because I requested records from the City of Danbury in reference to a complaint I made against the City of Danbury and my direct supervisor, because I had been docked for thousands and thousands of dollars. And I had made several complaints to them prior to this, of him saying racially sensitive things, of him asking me to come to his office to explain to me why the Confederate flag should be placed in certain places, or generally overall why it shouldn't be offensive. There were things that he said as far as me being from the projects, I should understand the racial bias and the racial animosity people had against me. But for me being black, I should understand that people need to take a test because they don't work in a city. That's why they are not employed. Many black people are people of color are not employed in the City of Danbury, so on and so on. So these things happened throughout the years. There were several complaints. But the big complaint came when I started going to college and this gentleman was docking me every day I was going to school, and I was supposed to be using time, which time I had been pre-approved for. We found out years later that this gentleman had been docking me for years. So I sent a complaint to the City of Danbury saying, you know, this guy has done all these things to me. I've been complaining for years, and this is absolute proof, which I did some record keepers to show that one of my white co-workers was actually getting paid. He wasn't even there. He wasn't even in the building. So all these things came to a head, and I sent this information to personnel, complained. I ended up being forced out of my job. And I sent to them, after this whole thing came out, and I was already forced out of my job, I thought, listen, let me send to them because they keep telling me throughout the years, they told me that we investigated every complaint that you have. It's also under oath, under the Commission under Human Rights, which they swore that they had investigated all these complaints. So I wrote to them and said to them, send me this paperwork to show me that you investigated this guy. Like, how did I find out that he was docking me and paying this white person when I was able to get Freedom of Information Act, get these records that show that this was happening? I was also able to get over 500 emails where this man was disparaging me, saying things about me throughout the years, many of the things that I complained about. So how was I able to get all this? And they're saying that they investigated, and they've never shown me anything. So here I go ahead and I file this complaint, and they tell me that I want specific information from the time I complained to you about him. All these years, I want you to show me what you investigated. So now, through your commission, you're telling me that they provided me all these records when under oath in this hearing, they admitted that there wasn't a single sheet of paper of this evidence. So how can you dismiss this? And again, from what this gentleman said that just spoke prior, to me, you're saying that it's okay for them to lie to you because they took my time, they took your time, because these records didn't exist because they had never done an investigation. So how is it that you send me something to say that it's dismissed? And there's no penalty for them lying? There's no penalty for them saying that they did this investigation under oath, which I submitted copies to the commission to show that this is what they said. And there is no accountability. There is nothing that anybody's going to do that they lied for and made me lose my job over 30 years. For nothing that they never even investigated this man to begin with. So that's what I'm wondering, like, how does this get rectified? Because you're saying to me in this case that you're dismissing it because they did respond to me. No, they didn't respond because there was nothing to respond to. They admitted under oath in your records in this hearing that my supervisor, Sean Neary, didn't have a sheet of paper, nor did the director of personnel have a sheet of paper that ever showed that they ever investigated this man. So I'm wondering, how does this happen? And how do you keep your integrity by saying that it's okay for them to do their job that way and simply lie, take up your time, take up my time, and continue this and say, like, what they did was okay?
Thank you.
Thank you.
Attorney Selvin?
Good afternoon, commissioners. I just want to briefly address a couple things, and I won't take too much of your time. The issue here is not Ms. Moore-Callens' gripe over her employment. The issue is whether or not the respondents provided her with any document that exists that was responsive to her request. She conceded her argument that we did provide her with everything. The testimony was clear that to the extent any records existed, it was provided to her. There's simply nothing more to give her. You know, if her complaints about discrimination and the like have all been addressed in other forums, obviously, as you all know, the Freedom of Information Commission is not the appropriate place to address those grievances. And certainly, we would, dispute that there was anybody who lied during her testimony or has lied to her. I'm happy to take any questions if you have them.
Thank you. Do any of the commissioners have any questions?
This is Commissioner Hankins. So the complainant was, in fact, lied to the doctors, correct? I noted it in paragraph 3 of the... All right, that's fine.
Thousands of cases, doctor.
All right. Okay, thank you.
But there were no documents in reference to what I was speaking. That's what I'm saying. If they couldn't provide me with documents, but they never did it. So they just provided me with paper. They weren't papers in reference to my complaint in reference to what I was requesting. Because there was no paper. After that.
No, this is Commissioner Hankins. I'm satisfied with my inquiry. Thank you.
Do any of the other commissioners have any questions? All right. Then with that, I entertain a vote. A motion.
Mr. Chairman, this is Commissioner Streeter. I move adoption of the hearing officer's report.
Commissioner Winkler, I second that.
Motion's been made and seconded. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, I'm going to take a roll call vote of those in favor. Commissioner Chavez?
Yes.
Commissioner Einhorn?
Yes.
Commissioner Fuseschi?
Yes.
Commissioner Hankins?
Yes.
Commissioner Streeter?
Yes.
Commissioner Winkler?
Yes.
And myself, Chairman Owen Egan, yes. So thank you both very much. I appreciate your attendance today.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. And how would I get copies of all this information?
If you call into the Freedom of Information Commission, they can help you with regard to getting a copy of the tape.
Yes, I did that, and I never received it.
Okay. I think you have to take it up with the commission's office after the meeting, okay?
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
I hope this doesn't keep happening to people. Thank you.
So next we have report on pending appeal.
Okay, it's Colleen here. On pending appeals, not too much new to report. We mentioned last time at our last meeting that we had two arguments coming up at the appellate court now tomorrow. So the one is with Mr. David Godbout and the other is with Marissa Lowther, both in one way or another involve our authority to not schedule hearings. And I believe the first one, Ms. Lowther, is in the morning, and then with a different panel in the afternoon, Mr. Godbout. So we've got Mary Schwind and Matt Reed teed up to argue those cases tomorrow. So we'll report on those next time. And I just wanted to mention, too, that on the appeal that we told you that we recently received in the Madison Police Department case involving the murder of Ms. Hamburg, that matter, we had filed a motion, or we had filed an objection to the to stay our decision, and Judge Clow did something interesting and granted didn't grant the motion either way. He's kind of fast tracked the matter, and I think recognizing its importance. And now Attorney Reed again is on that one, and he'll be moving pretty quickly to get that one before the judge. So it's an interesting development there. Let's see, on executive director's report, status of our operations, as I've been telling you, we've been moving toward the video hearings. I'm now told that those video hearings will commence in some fashion the first week of March. So we will let you know how those go. We've got a few of them that are in line to be heard in that format. So we're hoping that that works out well. And in terms of our relocation, nothing really new on that front. As I said last time, right now our date to move is April 30th, but I've been advised from DAS again that that's not a hard and fast date. And also if we needed a little more time, that they could be flexible with us. So we'll be looking at whether that date makes sense for us. And I'm thinking that potentially we may ask to wait until the end of the legislative session. That's my latest thought, but we'll see how things progress and, of course, keep you posted. Then under staff reports, we're conducting our third and final round of interviews for our Staff Attorney 1 position. We definitely had some excellent candidates in the second round. The interviews that Mary, Commissioner Hankins, and I participated in, along with our HR director, Charla Vincent. So we're looking forward to tomorrow to, I hope, making a selection very soon thereafter. And then on legislative report, I'll just say one thing and then just turn it over to Paula, because I think she wants to report on a couple of new proposals that have popped up in the past week or so. The governor released his budget proposal just around noon today, and I did quickly review, and it looks like the budget submission that we put in, which was essentially a baseline budget with some very minimal adjustments just to deal with prices increasing. So it was essentially a baseline budget that has been put forward to the legislature. There have been no cuts proposed to us that I can see at this juncture from the governor. So that's really good news. So turn it over to Paula. Hi, Paula.
Good afternoon. So since the last commission meeting, a number of proposals came out that would potentially impact FLI, but I just wanted to highlight a few. There was one proposal that would codify the governor's executive order regarding the conducting of meetings electronically. At this point in time, we only have, it's before GAE, and we have some concept language, the GAE is meeting today to vote on actual language. So we don't know what that particular proposal looks like. With that said, as Pauline mentioned, the governor did come out with his budget today, as well as post his legislative proposals. And one of them does essentially codify the governor's executive order essentially setting up a permanent standard that would allow meetings to be conducted electronically. And it does have more specific language. It just came out earlier this afternoon. I haven't had an opportunity to completely digest it, but I just wanted to make you aware of the proposal. And of course, if it does get a hearing, we would then testimony and or a written statement on it. At the last meeting, I believe Colleen had mentioned that we became aware of a proposal that would exempt constituent information, and it has in fact been raised. Again, this one is just right now is just a concept language. We don't have specific language, but it is before the GAE committee that I mentioned is going to voting on draft language today. Then there are just the last two I'll mention. There are two proposals that actually came from UConn. One of them would exempt from disclosure records relating to Native American cultural knowledge the type of records that are provided to UConn. The exemption would apply to any records related to evidence that's provided by tribal nations to prove that their ancestral remains or artifacts are affiliated with that particular tribe. This information or this evidence is provided by those who desire to have their ancestors or items repatriated, I believe that's how you pronounce it, given back when they're looking for it to be given back. We've taken a look at the proposal. At this point, I mean, we think it might be too broad, Helena talked about reaching out to the proponents to get a better sense of what type of records they're looking to exempt, if it's any or all, or if it's more narrow. And the last that I wanted to report on, there's a proposal to expand our current exemption for claims dealing with faulty or failing foundations in residential buildings. The current exemption had been enacted back in 2016. Actually, it was at the very end of the session in the Strickall Amendment. So we didn't really have an opportunity to comment on that exemption back then. This year, hopefully, we'll have an opportunity to comment on it. And as I said, it would expand that exemption to include information not just with respect to claims that exist, but also to potential claims, and not only information that's provided to executive branch agencies, but also to UConn. And again, this proposal came from UConn. I believe their argument is that having this exemption will allow them to have more access to information to help them develop a crumbling foundation risk assessment model. So it's a little bit mouthful, but it's essentially for research purposes. It's a temporal requirement, exemption. So right now it's a 7-year period, so it's limited in that way. So I think we have to think about in consideration and determine what position we would be taking on that exemption. That's it for now. There are several others, and I'm pretty sure if you want me to go through the other 20 that are currently on our list, but I just wanted to highlight the
and the public hearing process should be starting soon. First with the budget, we have been called to testify on our position relative to the budget before the Appropriations Committee, I think on the 22nd, is that right, Paula, of February. But it looks like that will be in fairly easy lift, as I said, based upon the review of at least the governor's proposal so far. The real work will come when we go before the subcommittee, because the legislature can issue, of course, its own budget, which could, again, restrict our budget. So we'll be working on that very soon. I think that's all I have. Very short meeting. I don't know if you all took bets on when we might conclude today, but I have 2:41 p.m.
Quickly, this commission, you said she had one small question under new business?
Oh, sure.
Go ahead.
Sure.
I have a question, the process question, but maybe if something. So today or yesterday, we received this new revised agenda, and the revised agenda had working who will and who won't be participating on it, and including email addresses for those people. So I'm trying to understand whether this is the same as the public agenda that's posted or different. And if it, in any case, I think we should only have one public agenda.
Oh, okay. I wasn't sure that the commissioners had been receiving that in the past. That is something that Wendy typically prepares for me so that I can just inform you as to whether somebody's
right.
missing or not.
I think it's a very useful tool,
mm-hmm.
but there should only be one public agenda that is available to the commissioners or anyone else.
Yeah.
I mean,
good point.
What you use that to,
right.
you know, as a policy matter, I think we should be careful only to have one public agenda.
Very good. We should potentially describe that in another format. I don't have any problem with it being public, but I wouldn't want it to be confused as the actual agenda.
And I'm not sure commissioners should have a different agenda than the one that is publicly posted.
Right. Thank you, Commissioner. We'll take that under advisement.
Right.
Are there any other topics of discussion that commissioners would like to address?
Okay, Mr. Chairman, Commissioner Streeter, I move we adjourn.
Second.
I second that.
I'll take a roll of those in favor. Commissioner Chabet?
Yes.
Commissioner Einhorn?
Yes.
Commissioner Kuzeshi?
Yes.
Commissioner Hankins?
Yes.
Commissioner Streeter?
Yes.
Commissioner Winkler?
Yes.
And Owen Egan, yes. We're adjourned. Thank you all
thank
very
you,
much.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
Bye now.
Thank you for all your help. Good job.